Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the Old Testament book of Numbers. Now to Pastor Chris.
Numbers 18 today, and a closer look at what it's like when God signs your paychecks. It's a delicate business, money and ministry. Anyone who's made a career out of serving God knows that salary is a tricky subject. What I mean is, God is the boss, so how exactly do you go about contract negotiation? Who writes the checks? You could just do ministry for free, just work two full-time jobs. But what's right? Now, this is not a guide to proper ministry salaries, useful as that would be. But in chapter 18, we get a good look at how God provides for his full-time workers. Here in Numbers, it is the Jewish priests and Levites who work for God. Aaron and sons have been given a heavy load of responsibilities. So how will they be providing for their families? But before we get to salary, God has a bigger issue to clarify. Start at verse 1. The Lord said to Aaron, "You, your sons, and your family are to bear the responsibility for offenses connected with the sanctuary, and you and your sons alone are to bear the responsibility for offenses connected with the priesthood." Responsibility is a big word. It comes with leadership. You take the reins, so you take the blames. The Lord opens up by letting Aaron know the buck stops with you. Now, we just had some serious issues with leadership, so this is big. Any offenses with the sanctuary, any issues with the priesthood, I come to you, Aaron. That's how leadership works in God's kingdom. When you lead, you're responsible. Whether or not you did it, you lead the people who did. That's a heavy weight to bear. So the Lord gives Aaron some help to bear it. In verse 2, the Lord reminds him that the Levites are given to assist. In verse 3, they would be responsible to Aaron. Responsible is a key word here. You'll find it four times in the next three verses. Other translations say guard or charge. It is a responsibility to watch and care for the things of God, the sanctuary, the altar, the tent of meeting, and the work at the tent. Serving as priests was a great honor to Aaron and his sons. In verse 7, the Lord says, "I am giving you the service of the priesthood as a gift." But that gift came with responsibility. But did that gift also come with a paycheck? Verse 8. Then the Lord said to Aaron, "I myself have put you in charge of the offerings presented to me. All the holy offerings the Israelites give me, I give to you and your sons as your portion, your perpetual share." So there it is. Whatever offerings the Israelites gave to God, he gave to the priests as their portion. Once again, it's a re-gift, or you can just look at it as paying out the employees. Now, the offerings we're talking about here were food, meat, grains. The priests kept whatever was not burned in the fire, which was specific. But the part left over, God said, that belongs to you, but treat it as holy. It's from God. In verse 11, it was the wave offerings too. Now, meat and grain might get a little tiresome, so the variety picks up in verse 12. "I give you all the finest olive oil and all the finest new wine and grains they give the Lord as the first fruits of their harvest. All the land's first fruits that they bring to the Lord will be yours." Now we're talking. The first fruits would include every harvest in the promised land. God provided the harvest for the Israelites. The Israelites gave the first portion back to God, and God gave that to the priests. Olive oil, wine, grain. This is starting to look pretty good. Which begs the question, could this whole deal be abused? I mean, what if the priests decided to take advantage of it all, working the religious system just to get the goods? Well, it could, and it did, several times. Some centuries later, the high priest was Eli, and his sons abused their power and abused the people, pretty badly too. And the Lord put them to death. Their father Eli was not the one screwing around, but the Lord held him, what was that word again? Responsible. God takes it seriously. Now back in verse 12, the three first fruits that are specified provide a good picture for us of the benefits package of ministry work. Oil pictures the Holy Spirit. Wine pictures both joy and suffering. And grain pictures the fruit of your labor. Ministry comes with an extra dose of the Spirit. Lots of joy, plenty of suffering, and much fruit for your hard work. Your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And then in verse 13, God tells Aaron to share with his family too. God's looking out for PKs and MKs. A few more details are laid out, and then God signs the contract on the dotted line. Verse 19, whatever is set aside from the holy offerings the Israelites present to the Lord, I give to you and your sons and daughters as your perpetual share. It is an everlasting covenant of salt before the Lord for both you and your offspring. And that's it. The deal is sealed. A covenant is an agreement or contract. God calls this one a covenant of salt. That means enduring. Salt is a preservative. It makes stuff last. God provides for his workers, and they can count on that. Hey, I'll be straight with you. If God is calling you to ministry, the finances don't always come easy. I've been at this for 15 years, about 180 months, and I would say that about half of those, I did not know how I was going to pay the next month's bills. But I always knew I would make it, God's promise, and somehow, I always did. Now, we haven't covered the Levites yet. The offerings were for the priests, but what about their assistants? In verse 21, I give to the Levites all the tithes in Israel as their inheritance in return for the work they do while serving at the tent of meeting. Well, now that's a fair deal. The word tithe means tenth, as in 10%. All of the Israelites gave a tenth of their harvest and their earnings to the Lord. God re-gifted that to the Levites. With 12 tribes tithing, that should work out all right. That is, if the Israelites gave. Sometimes they didn't, and the Levites didn't get paid, so the Levites had to leave, and the temple was not cared for. Hey, it happens in church today. The people are called to give. If they don't, the work can't be done. But there's one big issue we haven't yet covered. Land. Back up to verse 20. The Lord said to Aaron, you will have no inheritance in their land, nor will you have any share among them. Whoa there. Wait a second. No land? The land was everything. The whole Exodus was a journey to the promised land. Land is stability. Land is a heritage, an inheritance to pass along. Land was fields and gardens and trees and rivers, and it was home. Portions of the offerings are great. Tithes pay the bills, but it doesn't last. Here today and gone tomorrow. No land? So what do they get? Back in verse 20. The Lord said to Aaron, you will have no inheritance in their land, nor will you have any share among them. I am your share and your inheritance among the Israelites. This is it. This is the heart of the chapter. This is what it really means to have God sign your paychecks. I am your share, says the Lord. You don't get any land, and you get nothing that lasts. You get me. And for me, this is the life of ministry. There's no enduring inheritance of earthly goods for God's servants, but we have him. I consider all things lost compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ. That's what I work for. I counted the cost. It's an easy trade. Read Numbers 18. Consider your ministry. Consider your tithing. And consider who signs your paychecks.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener-supported, so thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.